broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
A great good day. Good morning. It's February 17th. We're in the clubhouse and our guest this morning, Bob Herrig, senior writer, ESPN.com, Mike Johnson, equipment editor, hot list voting team member, Golf Digest, and we're going to go into the clubs that voted what got the gold. Speaking of Olympics, yes, got the gold, the clubs. We'll be looking at which ones are for whom and should you stick with the ones you've got. Alex Myers, senior editor, Golf Digest, is coming in, and Jim Nugent, founder and publisher of Global Golf Post, also the president of the board of directors, American Junior Golf Association, celebrating their 40th year this year. Okay, if you'd like to play a round of golf, there are some tee times, and Project Grad, Waimea Project Grad, holding a fundraiser, Poipu Bay, there's a tee time if you'd like to play at 1:50. Haro Hawaiian Country Club has an 8:32, a 9:40. Makaha East has a 9:30. Wailea, there's a 9:38, and it may not be raining right now. Mostly clear in the morning, and partly cloudy, some scattered showers in the afternoon. We do have a flash flood watch up through noon, Monday afternoon for Maui. So just know that it could start raining. You know how it is. One minute it's beautiful, it's sunny. The next minute it's pouring rain. Was it 1926, some 92 years ago? The Riviera Country Club opened up. It was an absolutely gorgeous place to go. I mean, all the stars went to the Riviera. And today, at the Genesis Open, Patrick Cantlay, Graham McDowell just said he wants to take his game more seriously. Obviously, he is. Ryan Moore, Sam Saunders, Tony Finau at the top of the leaderboard. This golf course takes no prisoners. I think Riviera Country Club is winning. And if you watched any part of what Tiger Woods dealt with yesterday, you'd say Tiger Woods is definitely at the mercy of this course. And he says, while it suits his eye, he loves the course, he loves the layout, he doesn't play well there. And that was evident in the last 2 days. We're going to bring in a senior golf writer for ESPN.com. He's covered golf for over 25 years. Bob Herrig, welcome into the clubhouse.
Hey, thank you. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, Bob. Taking a look at everything that Tiger was dealing with yesterday, in addition to the challenges of Riviera, his driver, his irons, and his putter didn't seem to be in control. What were your thoughts watching?
No, you're right. And, you know, really, the from the places he was playing from and the lack of opportunities he gave himself, I mean, he's probably fortunate to break 80. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago at Torrey Pines on the Saturday, he really struggled to keep the ball in play and yet managed to shoot under par. There's still something about Tiger. He's got that fight in him. He's got that ability to try to, you know, make a score out of nothing. But you can't always rely on that kind of magic to get you through. And we saw it here in these last 2 days. He just wasn't in the fairway enough. He hit a record low number of greens for him. I mean, he only hit, I believe it was 16 of 36 greens through two rounds. I mean, it's just, yeah, obviously, it's just not going to do it. And as he mentioned afterward, he's got a lot of work to do.
And yet that was better than last week. I mean, his first, when he went to Torrey Pines. So what's interesting is and we're going to thank the people who make this show possible in just a second, but I want you to think about this. When he said after the round, he's hitting the ball flush, but something is a bit off. And that's what he's got to work out. And he's got some time to do that going to Honda next week. First, let's thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you in part by Creative Plumbing. Call Creative Plumbing because it has to be done right. Futuristone for your business or residence. Pavers for your driveways and parking lots. Concrete colored floors and decorative stone floors. And Claude Brousseau, Master PGA Teaching Professional at Maui School of Golf. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
So we're talking with Bob Herrig, senior golf writer for ESPN. Of course, he's followed Tiger for years. And amongst the correspondents, the journalists, all the club manufacturers, the guys that get together, the girls that get together and chat, Bob, when he says he's hitting the ball flush, but something's a bit off, what are people thinking that's a bit off?
Well, I think I do think he's hitting the ball flush, but I think what's wrong is he has just not played enough tournament golf. You watch him in practice, and it looks pretty good. You know, in the Bahamas, on a golf course that was fairly benign, without a lot of pressure in terms of where he had to hit the ball, he did quite well. But now you bring it out here to some very difficult venues and a lot of people lining the fairways and knowing that you've got to produce. And I don't think he's there yet. There seems to be some issues with sorting out his driver, for example. Guys take a long time sometimes to figure out the right equipment. He's not been at this for very long. He's got some tweaking to do. He mentioned, the hallmark of his career was always hitting his irons pin high. Point. He missed all four of the par three greens yesterday. So that has nothing to do with your driver, right?
Yeah.
Missing the greens with some short irons. Now, obviously, a couple of those holes are long, but also some of them are 7-iron range, and he's missing the green. The ninth hole yesterday, he hit a perfect drive. He finally started finding a couple of fairways. Perfect drive, 320. He had about 120, 130 yards in, and he missed the green in a bunker. Now, that's not like Tiger.
No. Yes.
So, so does that mean he can never get it? I don't think so. I think those things are fixable. I think what you can't fix is your distance and your power and your touch around the greens. Those things are hard to fix. But I think you can get those things worked out. He says he needs more tournament rounds, and he's not making it easy on himself. Honda's a difficult golf course, the Champions Course, the PGA National. There's a lot of hazards. It's a tough driving course and thick rough. So he's going to jump right back in a few days, and it's not going to be easy.
So at Riviera, he's been in the rough. He's been all over the place. And as you said, hitting it flush and hitting it hard. I mean, obviously, the man's got the power to do this with the driver. And we've seen what he can do scrambling at Torrey. He gutted out fantastic under par. He made the cut. He played well. He did a good job for his first four-day tournament experience. Frankly, when I saw him after the second day yesterday with the media, granted, he had just come off the course, he did look tired. And, the sore feet, there's a part of him that must not at all be accustomed to this kind of grinding it out, walking the course, the intensity, the adrenaline. And he mentioned that he doesn't remember, he's not accustomed to. You're pumped up with this adrenaline while you're playing. It's just coursing through you, and it's overdriving, overhitting your shots. And then when it's all over, it just drains out of you, and you're like, you're like a damp rag. Boom. Didn't say that, of course, but that's kind of the feeling. Everything rushes out of you. All of these things that we don't think about, we're just thinking about the swing, the hits, the misses. But the physicality of actually playing this under this pressure, this is what we talk about, tournament play and getting the reps under his belt, don't you think?
Sure. I mean, remember, he went 6 months without swinging a club. It wasn't until late October that he was able to start taking full swings. And, that's 3 months ago. And in that time, he's played 10 tournament rounds. Some of these guys that are playing at Riviera this week have played, 10 tournaments in the last 3 months, and he's played 10 rounds. I mean, there needs to be some patience. And, you know, I think the expectations got ratcheted up a little bit after he did so well in the Bahamas. But that's a little bit of an aberration. One thing that's good to hear is himself saying his expectations are tempered. He's recognizing that he hasn't played much golf in the last few years and that it's going to take some time. And you mentioned the walking part of it. I mean, you know, that's something we just take for granted. You know, when he's practicing at home, he is hitting a lot of balls. He's playing a golf course, but on a cart, mostly because he wants to get a lot of holes in. You know, sometimes his caddy, Joe LaCava, will come down to Florida and work with him and make him walk. And it just sounds silly, right, for a guy who's in great shape. Yeah. But, I mean, the actual walking of a golf course and the dealing with the waiting and the standing and all of the things that go into a tournament round, it's just very, very hard to replicate.
Yeah, in fact, when he was it last year, he was playing solo in some under 3 hours he finished the round. And we were talking about this, about whether it was good for him to have played solo. And he plays fast. So just what you said, just the standing around and waiting for your turn, if you're a quick player, it's something you've got to get accustomed to as well. You had some really cool tweets. This is Bob Herrig, and you can follow him on Twitter, Bob Herrig. Tiger Woods, his driver, his irons, his putter weren't working. But what was interesting, what you tweeted, Rory McIlroy seemed amazed at the commotion around Tiger Woods. Tell us about that.
Yeah, you know, Rory brought up a term, an old term. If you remember back when Tiger first came out, when he first turned pro in 96, he won the Masters in 97, the commotion or the excitement around Tiger was often referred to as Tiger Mania. And, you know, I mean, I'm not sure that's subsided, but it definitely became a little bit more normal. You just kind of got used to the hubbub that was around him. Well, Rory, you know, Rory's played a bunch of rounds with Tiger on tour, you know, back in 2012, 2013. But his comments yesterday were, you know, I don't know if this is Tiger Mania again. I don't know if this is going to settle down. But he said it definitely cost him a half a shot a round, two shots a tournament. And he was just talking about all of the things that he has to deal with, how mentally draining it is, how, you know, just the noise, the commotion, the people running around, people shouting things. He made mention of the fact that somebody had you know, shouted out, you know, hey, that putt breaks more than you think, you know. And, you know, you can't help but hear that. And then, you know, does that get into your head a little bit? I mean, it was a very interesting comment from Rory, you know, something I think that, you know, we forget about sometimes.
Right, and it's not like Rory McIlroy is some guy, you know, 500th on the ranking list. You know, he's got his own fans and his own galleries, and for him to say it's tiring being amongst all of Tiger Mania fans, that's a pretty big statement from somebody of his stature, Rory McIlroy. It was interesting to hear.
No question. He's dealt with it, too. But it kind of suggests that it was even more so playing with Tiger for 2 days here.
Another tweet from Bob Herrig. Tiger is on his way to his 17th miscut on the PGA Tour since 1996. He ties Rory McIlroy for miscuts. Justin Thomas, at age 24, has 23 miscuts. You know, we talk about Tiger missing a cut. Isn't he? I mean, he has made more tournaments than anybody. I can't remember the statistic, the number. He's consecutive cuts made. Do you remember what that is, Bob?
Yeah, I believe he was 142 straight from like 1998 to 2005. And, you know, of those 17 missed cuts, I believe 8 of them have now been since he had his first back surgery in 2014. And you know, that was not to knock the other guys. Rory, JT, Dustin Johnson's missed like 33 or 34 cuts in his career. It's just that's more the norm. What those guys are doing is the norm. Guys miss cuts.
Right.
You know, you miss two or three a year. If you play 15, 18, 20 times, you're not going to have it every week. You're going to miss a couple of cuts. And actually, I would guess that some guys, especially the guys who play a lot more, if they don't have it, they maybe don't mind missing the cut. They'd rather go home and get rest and practice and work on it. Well, you know, we've always known Tiger. He grinded that out. He took a lot of pride in that. I think it's an incredibly underrated stat of his. We talk about the wins and the majors and the top tens and all that, but, you know, to miss so few cuts, and especially factoring in all the issues he's had here in recent years, it's just pretty remarkable when you compare it.
Yeah, it is. It is absolutely remarkable. So let's go to where he's going next, Honda, next week, this coming week. He's got a lot of work to do, he said, on the weekend and getting ready for Honda. He has been, his erratic driver is kind of, I mean, I've almost become accustomed to it. It's like the old Tiger, he'd be all over the place, but he'd managed to get to where he was going and get there, you know, under par. Somehow, which was always miraculous. And I got spoiled because Tiger Woods never missed the cut. And then when the new young guns came on, you know, and they're great. They're absolutely fabulous. I love watching them. They're great kids. And they're, you know, they're part of the Tiger mania. They came out and now they're firing on all cylinders. And when they miss cuts, it's like, what, you missed the cut? Huh? Tiger never missed the cut. It's
right.
He created unreasonable expectations. So from what I understand, there's a lot of water at the Honda, the TPC. And so is it, you know, I'm thinking a lot of splashing balls for Tiger Woods at Honda.
Yeah, I mean, that's the danger of playing there. I think it's a very difficult goal. I mean, first of all, Riviera and Torrey Pines weren't easy. Certainly, those are hard golf courses too. The Torrey Pines, especially. And you know, Honda's a resort course, but they kind of like toughen it up for the tournament. They grow the rough and they turn it into a par 70. There's only two par fives. And there's a lot of water hazards. You know, there's a lot of places. You know, if you miss it in some of the places he missed it off the tee this week, instead of being able to play it, he's taking a penalty drop. You know, so it's going to be a heck of a challenge for him. Now, 5 or 6 years ago, he finished second there to Rory when Rory won the tournament. Rory's had an up and down history there. You know, he's won and he's finished close and he's missed cuts. I mean, if you don't quite have it, it's a hard golf course. And so, you know, I give Tiger credit for jumping right back in. You know, he's recognizing that just practicing at home isn't going to do it. You know, it's not the easy. There's not a whole lot of margin for error there. And, you know, it can be confidence sapping if you're not careful. So hopefully he finds something here in the next few days and gives himself the ability to play. You know, he needs to hit more fairways. He needs to hit more greens and go from there.
Ultimately, he wants to play the Masters and he wants to have a good showing there. Does he need to play Tampa, Bay Hill, keep going?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's interesting to me to talk about the Masters. Obviously, Tiger wants to be prepared to play there, and he's never going to go there not thinking about trying to contend and win. I mean, it's just the nature of the beast, right? But I just think it's hard at this point to be talking about winning so soon. You know, I think he needs to be preparing for the year, you know, preparing for a couple of months from now. And so whatever makes that work for him is what he needs to be doing. If it's adding those tournaments, Tampa and Bay Hill, because that's good for the long haul, good. If it's because he wants to try to be ready for the Masters, I'm not sure that that's possible. You know, there's no golf courses in Florida that are going to prepare him really for Augusta. And so obviously he needs tournament rounds. What's the balance there? You know, I happen to think that the Tampa course, Valspar at Innsbruck, is a really good course for him because it requires a lot of movement off the tees. There's not a lot of water hazards, but it's not an easy course either. you know, like a 9 or 10 under par wins that tournament. So it's not a lot. It's not a birdie fest, but it's also not a course where you have to hit it, you know, 350 yards. There's a lot of strategy. It would be good for him. Obviously, he's done great at Bay Hill. But again, that's because he was playing so great.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't matter much if you're not hitting it well. And so, I think he needs to, if he's healthy and physically able, I think he should add tournaments. Keep playing. Get seasoned, get these tournament rounds under your belt, take your lumps so that, you know, in time, you'll be prepared. You'll start to get the feel of it and the hang of it.
Yeah, get golf course conditioned. Walk, walk, mm-hmm. walk, you know, and experience all the things. How about his mom? Was his mom there yesterday?
You know, I did not see her, but somebody did and asked Tiger about it. And so he commented on that. You know, he talked about it was, you know, she was glad to see him back, too, and she was happy and proud that he was making the return. So, and his kids were there. So, it's nice to see, you know, that the Tiger used to sort of be in the background, and he talks about that a little bit more now. And I think he's recognizing that a lot of people want to see him play golf, including his own family.
Absolutely. Bob Herrig is senior golf writer for ESPN.com, covered golf more than 25 years. Do you mind my saying that?
Yeah, okay.
I always tell
people I started when I was 15.
There
so,
you go. See? Yeah, cool. I love that you attended Indiana on an Evans scholarship. And that you got into the game through caddying. That is so cool.
Yeah. It's, just a quick plug, but it's a great way to get into the game. It's frankly, it's an excellent way to learn the etiquette, the rules, and how to play, too. You know, so, it's a shame the game has kind of moved away from that, but, There's nothing better than caddying and learning how to play the game that way.
You'll find Bob Herrig, ESPN.com. Also, of course, on Twitter, Bob Herrig, at Bob Herrig with a G. He'll tweet and really cool tweets about what's going on the course. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me. Have a good day.
You too. Aloha. We're going to come back and talk about, Tiger said something yesterday, having to get used to the new spin rates from going from an M2 to the M3s. You know, that just leaves my head spinning. But yeah, Golf Digest's equipment editor, Mike Johnson's going to, you know, get me back in control right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club. We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing! 841-2837. Your experts on call.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futura Stone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint. It's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futura Stone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
Let's see. 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
And into the clubhouse he comes. It is Mike Johnson, equipment editor of Golf Digest. Mike Johnson is equipment editor of Golf Digest, and we would like to give away, I've got a box of Bridgestone golf balls for you to win. That's right. Let's give away a box of Bridgestone golf balls. We want you to win those golf balls, okay? The number is 808-546-5675. 808-546-5675. Mike, welcome into the clubhouse.
Well, I'm on the phone with you, so I can't call in to win the golf ball.
Yes, I'm so sorry.
By the way, Harrig's been doing this 25. I've got him beat by 7, but don't tell anybody.
I won't say a word. You know, I was listening to Tiger Woods talking about the spin rate and getting used to, you know, his driver. Everybody's going like, I mean, the guy can, he says he's hitting it flush. There's just a little something off. And it certainly looks like he's hitting it flush. And then it certainly goes off. And he says he's getting used to the difference between the M2s and the M3s, the spin rate. Can you, you know, enlighten me?
Yeah, I sure can. Actually, I was fortunate enough to spend a day with Tiger back in December as he was testing the new TaylorMade drivers down at Medalist Club in Florida. And, you know, it was an impressive display. And Tiger's, when it comes to equipment, Tiger's a virtuoso. I mean, he is really into it. He knows his stuff. He has incredible feel. And what he did this past week is he went back to a shaft, a Matrix Ozic TP7HD with an X Flex that he used in 2015, late 2015. And what he said is that the shaft is a little more stout. In other words, you know, it's a little boardier, doesn't have as much spin to it. And that's what he's trying to get to. I think he felt with the previous shaft he was using, it had a little more spin to it. And he's trying to reduce the spin, which obviously, with his launch angle, can give him a couple more yards, but more importantly, give him a little bit more accuracy. I don't think he has any issue with power outage. Watching the telecast yesterday on the 11th hole, which is a par 5, so everyone's hauling out furniture, he was like 3 yards behind Rory McIlroy. So it's in there for him, but, you know, it's going to take some work. He's a couple tournaments in, and I think he's kind of figuring it out as he goes.
I think anybody who goes to the driving range and hits balls and thinks, gosh, I've got this down, you know, I'm really hitting it well, and then you're standing in front of your friends and you're on the golf course and you just kind of cruising around, you know, and you swing and you're like, where did that come from? There, why am I, you're just pumped up, you know, in a different kind of, and so imagine, if you will, that you're surrounded by, you know, hundreds of people and you're on television and there's people all the way, you know, making noise and doing all this, and you really want to succeed. And Tiger, being the competitor that he is, wants to succeed desperately. And so I can only imagine the kind of adrenaline that's pumping through this guy. You know, does he, you can't practice that. And he said,
well, you can't practice it. And, and more importantly, it's just such a different scenario that kind of plays against each other, right? When he was on the range at Medalist Club, he's aiming at a dude in a yellow shirt at the other end of the range, and it's wide open. And if it goes off the face of the earth, it's just one ball. Now he's playing at Riviera, where he's got some trouble on the sides of the fairway, and he knows the Kikuyu rough is really difficult. So you need to be accurate, but as you pointed out, you're more amped up. So they kind of fight against each other. So I said this back when he was coming back once before. I said, you know, it's not that he doesn't have the game, but he has to kind of relearn tournament golf all over again. And I think that's the point where he is right now. He's kind of relearning tournament golf.
And the beauty of it is he knows that that's what he's doing. I mean, he's not in this, I'm here to win, you know, and trying to, like, talk himself into that again. I'm here to get reps. I'm here, and I'm going to play next week. And then hopefully he'll play next week. And I don't know whether he's going to play the Masters. I don't know if he's going to feel like he's ready for that. I don't know if he'd want to miss the Masters. If anybody's
been
there.
I don't think that's a question. I think if he can walk and swing, he's going to play the Masters.
Yeah, if he can walk.
But honestly, watching him in December, I was really impressed with his physical conditioning and where he was at. I know when people saw him in the Bahamas in late 2016, everyone got all jacked up because he played pretty well. And I remember looking at his swing and saying, man, that still looks pretty old manish to me, you know, kind of the abbreviated follow-through.
Yeah.
When I saw him in this December at Medalist, you know, he hit close to 100 balls and maybe close to 50 driver swings, and there was no give. I mean, he was hauling the mail and swinging full out, and I came away really impressed, saying if he stays this healthy and gets enough tournaments in, I think he's going to find it again to where he, you know, do I think he's going to win a major again? Who knows? Do I think he'll win a golf tournament again? Yeah, I really do. If he stays healthy, I think he will get back to the point where he can be competitive in tournament golf.
Yeah. I agree with you. I'm going to switch now because of this M2s to the M3s thing. You know, this is so subtle, and you were talking to me in the past about how Tiger Woods can feel weight in nanograms that we would never, because we're not so attuned to be able to notice the difference. So that's got to be it. You know, it's just there's these such subtle differences that he perceives because he's so attuned to the equipment, and as you were saying, so keen on what is going on and what they're doing. So I'm going to transition to Golf Club's Hot List. We talked with Mike Johnson, equipment editor, and he's a voting member of the panel, so he votes on, after everyone goes out and tests, you know, great players, not so great players, bus drivers, police officers, all kinds of different people are testing all of these clubs for days, for hours. They're hitting hundreds of balls, and then they break it down and they choose, and then they get into the conference room for 2 weeks, and the panel goes through all the things. So now we've got the clubs that have been determined to be gold, and we're going to stick with the gold. Now, Callaway, this is the one I wanted to set up here. Callaway has jailbreak technology. TaylorMade has twist face. Ping seems to have something called Max. Titleist, I don't know what Titleist has. They've got balls. They've got Vokey wedges. They've got Scotty Cameron putters. They've got Titleist clubs. Does Titleist have something like jailbreak technology?
No, they, I mean, what Titleist really does is they know their target audience, and they build golf clubs geared toward that target audience.
That's what
doesn't
I thought.
Doesn't mean they're inferior in any way. I mean, yes. You know, jailbreak and twist face, and all, those are nice, catchy terms.
Right.
But what they really mean is they've built a pretty dang good golf club. And in Titleist's case, I think their hallmark things are more nuanced, so it's harder to come up with a catch phrase that maybe captures all that.
Yeah.
But they have an adjustable hosel, which allows you to independently adjust lie angle and loft. Nobody else has that right now. Others have had it in the past, but they don't. Actually, I think Callaway still has it, so two companies have that. But that's a big thing, because what people don't realize is when you adjust face angle, it alters your loft. If you close the face angle, you're actually adding loft. If you open the face angle, you're actually decreasing loft. So it's a trade-off. What they've been able to do is come up with a hosel that allows you to do both without affecting the other. The other thing they have is that they have a weight on the bottom of the club that you can position either to be neutral or with a little bit of a draw bias. Those are things that can be helpful to a wider range of golfers. So while they don't shout a specific technology or talent.
Right, or a slogan, yes.
Or a slogan. And that's not to say jailbreak or twist ace are necessarily slogans. They are technologies in their golf clubs, but they happen to be things that also happen to work very well in, say, a commercial. Whereas Titleist things, they have made things that make for a great golf club. But like I said, they're more nuanced and not as catchy say, or more difficult to explain in a commercial setting.
Yeah, Titleist is steady. It's something that you can depend on. You know what you've got, and you can enjoy getting a new one. It's not going to be super different. It's going to be, as you said, nuanced as they adjust and make it even better than the technology from 10 years ago. So in the gold list from the drivers, we have the Callaway, the TaylorMade, the Ping, Cobra. Excuse me, I made a mistake there. No, it is Callaway, Cobra, Ping, and TaylorMade. What I don't understand exactly is what the jailbreak technology necessary. What does that mean?
Well, what they have are a couple of titanium bars that run from the crown to the sole and are positioned behind the face. And what this, according to their engineers, allows them to do is it stabilizes the head so mishits fly closer like center hits. That's kind of what we as everyday golfers want, and it's really the area that manufacturers and drivers are focused in. You know, the center hit has pretty much been maxed out for a while now by the major manufacturers. In fact, a lot of them in our discussions talk about how they actually have to dumb down the center to stay within conformance.
Mm-hmm.
But where we as everyday players want help is, yeah, when we hit on the center, we want it to go far. But we want to go far and straight when we hit it off center. And this is where virtually every major manufacturer of drivers is focusing their attentions on. And that's what jailbreak does. I mean, that's the thought behind twist face for TaylorMade. If you hit it high on the toe or low on the heel, which is where the high majority of everyday golfers have their miss, this is going to bring the ball closer back to center for you. You bring it closer back to center. Maybe it hits in the fairway instead of the rough. It hits in the fairway instead of the rough. You're going to get more roll. So you've not only hit it straighter, you've hit it further. Ping with its G-Max 400. High moment of inertia, lots of stabilization on off-center hits. Again, the more stable an off-center hit, farther it's going to go.
Excellent. So when Tiger talks about going from M2 to M3, twist face in the M2?
It is not. The M2 he had was the 2017 M2. It was a driver he liked to refer to as his snowflake for its uniqueness.
Okay.
The M2 was a very forgiving driver. I mean, it kind of was along the lines of what I was talking about with the Ping G-Max 400. You know, it's a hot driver, but it's very stable, and it doesn't have a lot of adjustability to it. The adjustability in the M3 during the testing in December, Tiger really liked that. When he got the M3 in his hand, initially it was in the neutral setting, and he was hitting it okay, but it was blooming up on him a little bit. And then they fiddled around with the weights, and all of a sudden he was smoking it. So this is a guy who has never really been into adjustable drivers at all. In fact, the M2, which does have an adjustable hosel, was the first adjustable. Now he's embracing that adjustability more fully with the M3.
So, and then the M4, what does that take us to?
The M4 would be kind of the next iteration of the M2. Again, it doesn't have movable weights. It does have a hammerhead slot in the sole, which provides a little additional face flex, but it doesn't give you the ability to move the weights around to either try to affect ball flight or spin rate.
Okay.
You kind of need to get fit into the right one right off the bat with that.
And then once you're set, or maybe you can go in and say, maybe we should adjust this a little bit and somebody adjust it for you, or once it's set, it's done?
Well, with the M4, you can mess around with the hosel settings, which would be loft and such.
Uh-huh.
But pretty much once you're set in.
Okay.
The M3 has two movable weights, which you can move in a myriad of directions, in theory, infinite directions, because they're along a track. So they're not set except where you want to set them. So as I tell everyday players, if you have an adjustable driver like that and you're not 100% satisfied with the performance of it, take a large bucket of balls, take the wrench, go out to the range, and try a bunch of different settings. You can always move it back to where it was. So there's no reason not to fool around with it.
Yeah, you got it. Play with it. So the Callaway GBB Epic Sub-Zero Star, Callaway Rogue Sub-Zero Draw, the Cobra King F8 F8 Plus, the Ping G400 LST SFT Max, the TaylorMade M3440, the TaylorMade M4 D-Type, they all made gold on the Golf Digest. Yes,
hot list. I think if you look at them, what you see there is they have multiple models. They realize one driver does not fit all. So either clubs have kind of this max adjustability like the Epic or the M3, or other ones that don't have max adjustability, they offer multiple models, whether it's a draw model, a low spin model, or things of that nature.
Interesting. What else was interesting is a summation that came in the hot list explanation. You can go to Golf Digest and just Google Golf Digest Hot List in 2018 will come up. And you should really give a read to what the Hot List roster of drivers and all the clubs, you know, what they have to offer. But what you wrote, I think someone wrote in Golf Digest, there is another movement in drivers. Even on the PGA Tour, there's a quest towards simplicity. Heading into 2018, there are more players using drivers on the PGA Tour that don't have movable weight settings than do, for example. This class of drivers are perhaps less like quarterbacks and air traffic controllers and have more like high-speed, freak-size edge rushers and jumbo airliners, large footprints, plenty of face area, and generally lighter weight. I love that writing. But it was interesting that they're moving away on the tour from adjustable.
Well, as any engineer will tell you, when you engineer adjustability into a driver, there's a trade-off. The big thing in club design, especially in drivers, is always weight. You know, you want to make it as light as you possibly can within reason. There is such a thing as too light and a point of diminishing returns. But generally, the total weight of a driver, you want somewhere in that 300 to 315 gram range. And when you add in adjustability, you add in weight tracks and things like that, you're adding weight to the design. So what happens? Now you have to take weight from somewhere else. So it is a bit of a trade-off. When you're great, like the players on tour, and every single one of them is great, you don't need to take advantage necessarily of that adjustability unless you have a specific area of your game that you really need to work on. For example, if someone's a really low spin or high spin player, then adjustability is probably going to help them because they can shove the weights forward or backward, and they can mitigate that problem. But if you have pretty good launch conditions to begin with, and you're pretty much in that standard, you know, 11 to 13 degrees launch and 2,000 to 2,500 spin, and you don't really have a big miss to the right or a big miss to the left, then there's no reason to make that compromise. And so one of the other drivers might actually perform better for you.
Yes, all these things, you really do need to go to a PGA professional and talk with them and take your club. And if you go to one of the equipment retail outlets and really have some conversations with people, let them let you or have them let you test them. They've all got hitting bays where you can hit and get a feel for it. It's a big investment, Mike Johnson, Golf Digest.
It's a huge investment. As you know, Danielle, I'm a big proponent of club fitting. I think if you buy a $400 or $500 driver and don't get fit for it, you wouldn't buy a $400 or $500 suit and not get tailored for it. And the thing is that the driver is more of a performance product than a suit even. You get the most for what you're paying for. Golf Digest has 100 best club fitters list on our website for those who maybe don't know where to go. But I can tell you, if you've not ever been fit for a golf club and you go and get fit, I guarantee you, you will see improvement.
A huge improvement. Aloha Golf Center is right down on Dillingham Boulevard, just off Dillingham. Aloha Golf Center is one of the Golf Digest equipment centers, their top equipment centers list, and not only here in Hawaii, but also in Nevada, in Las Vegas. We have a couple more minutes, and I know you really like the players' distance irons, this new category that you came up with, a combination instrument of precision and distance. These clubs allow you to hit one less club into the green. So who is the players' distance consumer? It's the aging golfer who sees his single-digit status starting to slip away. The golfer who needs just a little extra oomph to hit one less club into a green in the hopes of having more legit birdie opportunities. I like that. Legit birdie opportunities. So you have in the hot list gold, TaylorMade M3 and the P790. Titleist 718 AP3 and the 718 TMB, the Callaway Epic Pro, the Callaway Rogue Pro, the Cobra Forged TEC Black One Length, and the Ping I200. I have one question that we'll have time for, and it has to do with Cobra. When they say the Forged Tech Black, is that how it's you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, Tech Black. What do they mean by one length? Because we talk about, you know, Bryson DeChambeau, and he's got his one length club. Does this have anything to do with that?
Yes, it does. In Cobra's instance, they offer the Forged Tech Black in two options. You can get a traditional length irons where they're obviously progressive lengths, longer in the long irons, shorter in the short irons. But they also offer a one length option, which is built kind of on DeChambeau's specs. Each of the irons are 7-iron length, and they believe that there is a segment of golfers out there who would benefit from the fact that in their iron game, they only have to learn one swing and just repeat that swing. So it's a really interesting concept. It's certainly not for everybody. I might even be for the minority, but there is a segment of players out there that can probably benefit from that.
And Cobra's offering that option. That's very cool. It's, you know, it's like, where do I go to test that? Do I buy the whole set of irons and then don't like it? That's the hard part with that one.
Well, I do know that Cobra is trying to get some demo things out there, at least, say, a 4-7-iron and pitching wedge, which obviously the 4 and the pitching wedge are going to be the ones that feel a little bit different. I've played with a one-length set 3 or 4 times now. It's an interesting experiment. I mean, I found that the 4-iron I hit more consistently, but maybe had a little bit of trouble getting the ball airborne. And you know, the short irons are probably a little more difficult to control, but you certainly get more distance with them due to the longer shafts. And one thing I did find about the short irons were you stood up more on your chip shots and pitch shots, and it kind of made it a little bit easier. So I would tell people if they're intrigued by it, try to find a place that has a demo set and give it a try.
All right. This is a wonderful conversation with you. As always, I'm enlightened, and I feel more confident when I think about going to get a club and going and checking out the different golf clubs. And again, find a PGA and Aloha Section PGA. Yeah, give them a call. See who the PGA nearest you is, and maybe they can give you a tip on who to go see. Like Joey Castillo handles the Ping Golf Club line. So you could call Joey, find out where the demo days are, talk to your pro at the pro shop, and they often have demo days so you can check out the golf clubs. Mike Johnson, Golf Digest equipment editor, thanks for being on the show.
If you're more confident in your club selection, then my work here is done.
Awesome. Aloha.
Take care.
We're going to come back right after this. We're going to go into the grind. It's Alex Myers after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Have you ever seen a building or a magazine photo or traveled to a place that captured your imagination? Futura Stone's master craftsmen can transform your vision into a reality. Does your project call out for a permeable pavement, parking area, pool deck, plaza, or grand entry? Bring us your plans. Futura Stone's unique outdoor products and services can turn your resort, building, or home's exterior into an oasis that will last a lifetime. Call Futura Stone, 841-7440 across Hawaii. Futura Stone, only the best.
Strong, quiet, dependable, reliable. Sounds like a great husband for my daughter. But really, it's your new Rainer garage door. Your home deserves the beauty and dependability that only Rainer can give. Call us today at 676-3667. Ask about our fall special and save money as you improve your home. That's Rainer Hawaii, 676-D-O-O-R.
As we jet from place to place, we buckle in knowing they maintain their planes daily. They don't put off repairs till the next month. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your water line, sewer line, or fire line broke at the worst possible moment. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or commercial center, high-rise, townhouse, or hen house. You need your job done now. Done right. That's Creative Plumbing! Your experts on call.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club. But you don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to the golf club.
Alex Myers, associate editor at Golf Digest magazine, self-proclaimed fantasy sports guru. I'm sure he's winning in the Golf Digest office. Alex writes one of my favorite golf magazine columns. It's called The Grind, Golf Digest. It comes out on Tuesday, golfdigest.com. And he kind of looks back at the week in review, the highs and the lows, but not what you'd expect. Like, it's not an evaluation of a golf club, or it's not an examination of a golf swing or Tiger Woods' game, or it's more the things that people do in the game that you probably won't see on, you know, other places like golf channels, various shows. For instance, did you know that Lydia Ko closed her Twitter account? Because it was clogging up her cell phone. It was taking up too much storage space. I mean, that there's silly things like that, but it's fun. Alex, welcome into the clubhouse.
Oh, thanks, Danielle. That was a very kind introduction of you. Great to be back.
It was funny. You know, she likes Instagram better. She spends more time on Instagram. So really, Twitter didn't make any sense to her.
Yeah, you know, and I actually did some digging. I checked the storage on my own phone, and it is true that Twitter takes up about three times the storage of Instagram. However, it's such a minuscule amount of storage compared to, you know, the photos and the videos that we all keep on our phones that I think she probably could have afforded to keep Twitter on there as well. But, you know, she just made some recent changes again. She cleaned house again with a new swing coach, new caddy. She's probably getting some criticism. She does this every year. It's
yes,
amazing. And I think there probably was a little more to that. She might have been a little frustrated with some of the people, you know, tweeting at her, letting her know what they thought about her personnel decisions. But regardless, we'll take her at her word. I guess it was taking too much phone, storage on her phone.
Clogging up her cell phone. Absolutely.
Clogging it up.
You know, don't you find it interesting that more people in the golf industry use Twitter? I mean, it is the preferred social media.
I think it is. I mean, I definitely know people who prefer Instagram, but for me, it's definitely Twitter. I just think you get so much more news from Twitter, actually. And if you follow the right people, you know, and actually I found out about that from Randall Mell from Golf Channel. He does a great job keeping tabs on all things LPGA. He travels to a lot of the events and so forth. And if you follow the right people on Twitter, I mean, you know, you can be in the know on any subject really that you want to be, whether it's golf or sports or politics. And, you know, I find myself constantly emailing or texting my friends links that I see on Twitter, and, you know,
2 days later, I'll get a message from another friend. Hey, did you see this? And it's like, yeah, dude, if you're on Twitter, you see that right when it happens.
Exactly. So
I think Twitter's great. I really do. I think it's a great service.
And it's what you said is so important. It's like who you follow.
Right.
I know some people who have... they don't follow anybody except for the news outlets they want to get. You know, that's their whole purpose. That's the reason why they have it.
And exactly, because you hear people complain, oh, I don't want to hear about so-and-so talking about what they had for breakfast. Okay, well, then don't follow people who talk about what they had for breakfast. it's not that hard to figure out.
No.
Follow the Associated Press if you want some, you know, real news. And, you know, follow Golf Digest if you want your golf news. You know, it's pretty logical and pretty easy to put a good list together.
Yeah, and so we're talking about the grind, and this is something Alex Myers puts together on Tuesday. It'll come out. For instance, one of the little ditties in here is that, did you know that Dustin Johnson is one of five golfers to be number one for a full year? One of only five.
And again, you know, there's a little asterisk there because the official world golf ranking wasn't established till 1986, but that's still 32 years. And in those 32 years, yeah, only five golfers have held the spot for at least 1 year consecutively. And, you know, the other four are Tiger Woods, Nick Faldo, Greg Norman, and Rory McIlroy, who just did it he had 54 weeks a few years ago. So Dustin's at 52. He's going to be at 53 on Monday, no matter what happens this weekend. I assume he'll get a few more weeks in there. If he actually gets up to, I think, 61 or so, he'll be in the top five of longest consecutive streaks at number one. Of course, Tiger at 281 weeks, which is, I think, what was it, over 5 years? Almost 6 years consecutively. And he had another streak of 260 weeks, is way ahead of anybody. But certainly what Dustin's doing right now is, I think, getting overlooked a little.
Yes, I think so, too. I think we take it for granted. Somehow,
right.
He's an understated guy. He's tall, he's statuesque, he has this incredible swing, but there's something about him that is, you know, he's just very understated. He doesn't talk a lot. He doesn't, you know, he's just Dustin Johnson and his sticks do the talking.
Exactly.
Thank you very much.
Exactly. Yeah. He really is. He's just like, you know, he comes off as this cool guy who, you know, I play golf, but you know, that's not all that I'm about. I go out there, I do my business, right? I don't do a lot of talking. Yeah. I don't let my scores speak for themselves. And certainly, you know, we know that he's capable of producing the most spectacular highlights. Obviously, the shot at, at Kapalua, the year 4-1 on 420-yard hole. But you don't see him jumping around, fist pumping after that either. He doesn't add to the highlight. He just lets the highlight kind of speak for itself. But you're right. So he's very subtle and not as flashy as some of these other guys, but certainly, again, to hold that number one spot when we know how volatile it can be. I mean, you know, someone like John Rahm almost caught him a couple weeks ago. And, you know, no disrespect to what John Rahm's done, but that it took him that little time to catch Dustin shows you just how volatile the official world golf ranking can be. So
that's
why it is hard to stay there.
Yes, you know, but that's what gets me. You know, it's like, how did Rahm get there so fast when it seems like,
I'll tell you what a lot of people don't realize about the official world golf ranking, and I think it is, I do like it overall. I mean, is it perfect? No, but I think it's interesting. It gives us something to talk about. But it is a two-year ranking, which some could argue against. But once you, each week you get away from something that's happened in that two-year window, you lose points on that. So to put that as an example for Dustin Johnson, his U.S. Open win from June of 2016 is still within 2 years, so it's counting. But he's getting a fraction of the points for that victory that he was getting when it happened or a few weeks after that. So, you know what I mean? So it's a sliding scale. You start to lose credit for those. So you need to say, well, wait, what the heck? He won the U.S. Open within the past years. Yeah, but now he's only getting, I don't know what the points is exactly, but he's probably only getting 10 points for that, where he is getting 50 points for finishing third
you know, at a different event that just happened. So I like the process. It scales it out. That way you don't lose all your points at once the 2-year window elapses, but you kind of start to lose it as it goes along.
We are KORLYNI, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo, KPUA Hilo. Okay, so we've got these golf balls that we're giving away, and the number to call, it's really simple. It's 808-546-5675. Bridgestone golf balls, okay?
Mm.
It's a whole box of them. I mean,
sounds good.
Call me. The ninth caller is the winner. All right, so that's what we're doing. All right, now let's get back to the grind. The grind in Golf Digest, golfdigest.com, Alex Myers, senior editor. And after last week, Alex was buying, and this is something else he does, the buying and selling segment. That which he likes and that's what he just wants to get rid of in life. Where did that come from?
I was thinking of a way to, you know, have a weekly thing, but have something that you can do every week. And, you know, I try to do three of each week, but usually I end up doing four of each, or maybe if I cheat a little and I do four of one and two of the other. I usually like more things than I'm selling. I try to be more positive, as you can tell.
Yes.
But every once in a while, of course, there are negative things that I sell, and they're not always awful things. Don't get me wrong, but you know, it's just a fun thing to do, just to kind of break up the week, maybe a little different than giving a, you know, out a specific grade or anything, just kind of grouping things together.
So he's buying Waste Management winner Gary Woodland, and you know, I had no idea that he lost his baby girl. The baby girl died. I didn't know that in 2017. And he's another understated, extremely talented player, and I'm so happy for him after reading what you wrote.
Yeah, I mean, you know, certainly his wife was pregnant with twins. They lost one of them. It was very hard for both of them, of course. They did have a son, Jackson, who was there when Gary won at Phoenix, and it was his first win, and I was surprised in nearly 5 years. So that was a really neat moment for him. Obviously, he'd been through a lot last year. And yeah, you're right. He is a Dustin Johnson clone almost. I mean, just a tremendous athlete. Hits the ball a mile. Great basketball player. Can dunk. We all love golfers who can dunk and get excited when golfers are considered athletes like other,
yes,
other sports.
Yes.
So, yeah, he's a very talented guy. He's still only 33. So I think, you know, he's got a lot more golf in him. And you know, getting a victory early in a Ryder Cup year is certainly huge, because it puts you right in the mix to make that team by the end of the year.
Ryan Palmer, Alex Myers is buying Ryan, for wrapping $100 bills in golf balls lofted up to the folks in the 16th stadium stands during the Waste Management Phoenix Open. I didn't, $10 bills?
Yeah. $10 bills wrapped around
another
bottle.
Have another beer.
Have another beer, exactly. Or, you know, what came out that week was this new, and they were the people at Coors Miller and Arizona Iced Tea were kind enough to send me a sample of this new spiked Arnold Palmer spiked half and half. So, very tasty beverage. They were debuting that week, so I'm sure some of Ryan Palmer's money probably went to buy more of those as well. And I know some people probably didn't like that he was encouraging that, you know, that scene there, because it can get a little rowdy, as we saw with the one guy who got naked in the street.
Oh,
and
dear.
Ended
yes.
up spending five days in jail, losing his job, said it was all worth it. I don't really buy that, but, you know, so Ryan Palmer didn't help. You know, some people probably said, Ryan, you know, let's not encourage these guys. But, no, I think that's a really fun atmosphere there. And certainly it makes that tournament stand out, where, you know, you have a schedule that's pretty continuous throughout the whole year. It's really smart on their part to have an aspect like that, the 16th hole with the stadium seating and everything, the amphitheater. that jam 40,000 fans right there on that hole in there. It really makes that tournament stand out.
And that's why he's selling the 16th hole complainers.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't think people realize, okay, at the Waste Management Phoenix Open, 719,179 people attended over the seven-day period. On Saturday, 216,818 people went to watch a golf event. You know, it's that's pretty phenomenal. It's crazy.
I mean, it really is when you think about it. And, you know, there wouldn't be that many people going if they didn't think it was a fun atmosphere and a party atmosphere. And, you know, some of the purists say, oh, well, that's not what golf's all about. Well, whatever. I mean, I like getting people into golf no matter what. And now maybe a lot of those people never watch golf the rest of the year. But maybe some of them will turn it on the next week or try to go to another tournament or, you know. And so I just think the more you get people into the game, no matter how you do it, obviously the better. And those, yeah, those attendance numbers were absurd. I mean, every year you look at them and you're like, how is that even possible? Because, you know, if you attend a tournament, a really, really packed one, you know, like a U.S. Open or something, you think, wow, there's no way they could get any more fans in here, and that's only like 40,000 people. So the fact they're getting 200,000 people in the gate somehow,
where are they parking the cars?
Just incredible. Yeah, exactly. Are they taking shuttles from like the next state over? I mean, it's bizarre, crazy.
Yeah. Okay, and then I found my golf horoscope. I do. Yes. I was born in July, so I'm a Cancer, and okay. It says for me, you're a quiet competitor. Your heart not set so much in the winning, but the trying. Though you're intensely loyal to those in your golf life, extending this emotion to inanimate objects is sick. It's time to buy new golf shoes.
That's a good one.
It's true. I really am into the, you know, the playing of the game. I'm not all that competitive. I don't, you know, you win. Great. Fabulous. You had a great shot. I'm so happy for you. Yay, yay, yay. you don't happen to have yours in front of you, do you?
I looked it up. We just put this up a couple of days ago. And yeah, I'm a Pisces. And mine basically says that I'm really good at being a good teammate, encouraging and telling my teammate the right thing. And then I actually should consider caddying full time and quitting my day job. So I don't think I'm going to tell my wife that one because but it made me think, maybe I could do that. Maybe I could be a caddy. So we'll see.
Well, okay. So the question that I must ask you, I'm getting over a cold. Forgive me.
You know,
you're coming up. It's Saturday. Okay. So anything that, you know, you can tease us with that's coming up in the grind on Golf Digest pretty soon?
Well, I mean, we'll definitely have stuff next week on Tiger, of course.
Yeah.
This wasn't his best week, of course, the Riviera, but, you know, he is going to play next week, so he's going to test out the back-to-back weeks. That's a good sign. There's definitely going to be something on Bubba Watson. I mean, not only is the guy finally playing a little better, but he played in this NBA All-Star Celebrity game last night in the middle of this tournament when he's in contention, no less, and he actually tried to lay a ball up against Tracy McGrady, who was a, you know, former amazing basketball player, and he got swatted into the stands. He also shot one of the worst air balls you will ever see, and Brooks Koepka was already killing him on Instagram for it and Twitter. So I'm sure when he shows up at Riviera today, he's going to be taking a lot of ribbing from some of these other guys. So, you know, Steve, definitely have to do something with that. But good for him for like getting in there and trying. Apparently, Dustin Johnson turned down the chance to play in this game.
Smart. He doesn't need to hurt his back again. Yes.
Exactly. Doesn't want to hurt your back, and you don't want to shoot an air ball in front of people or get swatted into the crowd and get made fun of. So, smart move, Dustin.
Well, I thank you very much for being on the show. Alex Myers, always fun to talk with you.
Great to talk to you, Danielle. Have a great rest of the weekend. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. Have a great long weekend. We're going to do the Aloha Golf, Great Aloha Run is what's happening on Monday. So that's what we'll, about 30,000 of us will get together and walk from the Aloha Tower to the Aloha Stadium to raise money for charity. So that's one of the things that the community here in Honolulu is doing on Monday. Thanks so much for being on the show. We're going to say aloha. Thank you.
Aloha, Danielle. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. That was Alex Myers, senior editor of Golf Digest, and he has the grind. GolfDigest.com. You really should check it out. He's got some great videos, too. We're going to come back with Jim Nugent. He's the founder of Global Golf Post, the first all-electronic golf magazine. And he's also the president of the board of the American Junior Golfers Association, celebrating its 40th year. After this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futurestone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint. It's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futurestone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water lines broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
Yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
I'm just going over the leaderboard over at the Genesis Open, where Patrick Cantlay, Graham McDowell, Ryan Moore, Sam Saunders, and Tony Finau at the end of yesterday were at the top of the leaderboard. To the best of my knowledge, they have not teed off yet. But just seeing, we were talking about Bubba Watson, by the way, is right there after Tony Finau. I should just drop this down. Bud Cauley is there, Kevin Chappell, and then comes Bubba Watson. And Jamie Lovemark and Derek Fathauer. You see, I have to keep going down because they're all tied for six. Kevin Na, and there we go. Kevin Na, all those guys. It's a tight race. It's a difficult golf course. And when Graham McDowell said he was going to commit himself to the game again, he wasn't joking. I was like, Graham McDowell? Wow. You are playing well. And, of course, Bubba is also playing well. Speaking of all of these young guys coming up through the ranks, being on the PGA Tour, the Web.com Tour, all of the mini tours around the world, and you know, the way that Augusta National started by opening up an invitation to the Asia Pacific Amateur to be able to play at the Masters, started an entire trend so that all of these young people are being invited, if they win, from different areas to come to play at the Masters. We're seeing the American Junior Golf Association, the work that it is doing to prepare these kids, not the ones from out of the country necessarily, but the ones here in the United States, to become these composed, Bud Cauley composed people who are now playing on the PGA Tour. And for 40 years, AJGA has been working. Jim Nugent is founder and publisher of Global Golf Post. It's the first all online magazine. That's what I meant by digital. And it's free. All you have to do is put your email address, go there, put your email, and it'll come into your inbox. Jim Nugent is also the president of the American Junior Golf Association since 2013, the president of the board, and member of the AJGA Board of Directors since 1993. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Good morning, Danielle, and thank you for having me on today.
Absolutely. Your whole bent at the American Junior Golf Association, from what I have read, is maintaining and cultivating the kids and the sponsors, making sure the association standards are met and exceeded. Let's talk a bit about what standards that you have for your kids and getting sponsors in, cultivating and maintaining them.
Well, you know, the list of names that you just read off, Danielle, with the exception of Graham McDowell, who's from Ireland, all those kids, now young adults, young men, grew up playing in the AJGA, and we're very proud of them, and many of them are paying it forward by sponsoring tournaments in their own name. Jordan Spieth is, and Justin Thomas is, among others. We, our mission is to give kids an opportunity to earn a college scholarship by virtue of the God-given talents and the talents that they developed playing this game. But we also have pretty rigorous standards as far as personal conduct and behavior. We're not shy to hand out penalties for clubs that somehow get airborne or words that shouldn't be spoken. And so we're teaching these young men and young women what it means to be a competitive tour player and how to comport yourself accordingly. And we've been doing it for 40 years, and it's my great honor to be able to serve this organization.
That's awesome. The funding, though, that's important because you have the AJGA Financial Assistance Program, Achieving Competitive Excellence, the ACE grant. So, you know, Smiley Kaufman, a beneficiary of ACE, that's really where you need to keep the money flowing to keep the AJGA growing. Well, you started with, was it three tournaments and you're up to 120 now?
Exactly. And you know, we're very, very well supported by corporate America. We have TaylorMade and Adidas Golf as our national sponsors. Rolex has been with us from the very beginning. We have a whole roster of companies that believe in our mission, that want to support youth, want to help young men and women achieve their dreams. The ACE grant, which was created by the executive director, Steve Hamlin, was an effort on our part to make sure that no kid would miss out on realizing his dreams of going to college simply because of lack of financial resources. And so there's been corporate support, but there's also been great individual support coming from the players. Jordan Spieth has endowed a grant, and that's a six-figure investment that he made. And he's just one of many players who have endowed a grant so that we can help the next generation that needs financial help realize their dreams. And it's probably the most important thing that's happened in my time with the American Junior Golf Association.
Another new event is the Mason Cup, August 24th to the 26th this year. Can you tell us about what is the Mason Cup?
You know, what we're seeing in this new generation of young men and women is a desire to give back, a desire to pay it forward, so to speak. And so we have a program called Leadership Links that encourages our men and women, our young men and women, to use their talent and contribute back to the game of golf. It started with an event that a young man created in North Carolina, and we're looking to extend that kind of thing. And so the Mason Cup is just that. It's kind of an organic effort, kids getting together and saying, let's do something, let's give back to the game, let's support the game of golf. And we're very excited about the debut of the Mason Cup, and we're looking to extend this program across the country.
So this is Ryder Cup style. How do you get on the team?
The selection criteria is yet to be determined, but you know we're going to hopefully have some of the best young men and women in the state be able to compete in a Ryder Cup format over a two-day period. It's got great potential, and it's something that we think is going to spread widely across the United States.
Cool. So you're thinking about having one of these in all the different states?
Well, in an ideal situation, that would certainly be the case. These kinds of events, they kind of have to come from the kids. They have to be organic. They have to come from the ground up. So this isn't something that we're looking to create from the board level or from the headquarters. We're looking for kids to get together and do it themselves, and, wow. and then we'll come in and help them.
So that's why each junior is responsible for raising $1,000.
Exactly. And you know, the funds will be used in a charitable purpose. It's what we're trying to do here, in a sense, is teach kids early on that you can't pay the AJGA back for what you're receiving, but you can pay it forward, and you can use your talents and the relationships that you make in this game and use it in a way to raise some money in a charitable bent.
That's cool. All right. I came across a tweet following the AJGA on Twitter about Sadie Engelman, who won the Buick Shanshan Feng Girl Invitational.
Okay.
And earned her way into the 2018 IOA Championship. Is Shanshan Feng somehow involved in the AJGA?
A great supporter of the AJGA.
Wow.
She underwrites that tournament. And this has been a big change in my time. Back when I first started, getting tour players to contribute to the AJGA, which was very important in their development, was very hard. But there's been a sea change now, and I bet you, I don't know the exact number, but I bet you that we've got 15 tour players, men and women, who are deeply involved in hosting and sponsoring and underwriting AJGA events in their name. And and we have, you know, others that didn't grow up at the AJGA doing it as well. Annika Sorenstam has one of our most important girls events every January, and I've been to that event several times. Annika doesn't just put her name on it. She and her husband, Mike McGee, and their kids are there from dawn till dusk. And they're interacting with the kids, they're interacting with the parents. They're really creating a very memorable opportunity for these men and women. And there's, as I said, at least 15 players, one of them being Sunshong, who's doing the same thing.
Yeah. Michelle Wee, here in Hawaii, the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, that Mary B. Porter King co-founded with Greg Nichols and others four together 20 years ago. Michelle Wee is the sponsor of the Michelle Wee Championship that happens at the end of the year. So as the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association has events on various islands, the kids earn points for the positions they come in, and then the top go to the Tournament of Champions. So it's the Michelle Wee Tournament of Champions, but it's the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association Tournament of Champions. And she comes, she'll talk to the kids, she'll be there. Sometimes she holds clinics. It's a commitment she's made. And then she has the We Love Ping Pong, of course, we spelled W-I-E, and the girls were here from the Lotte. They're playing, and then in the evening they go down and they help raise money for the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association by playing ping pong, and tickets are sold and sponsors are found, and it's a whole lot of fun. So I see that, you know, we in America, in Hawaii, don't have the American Junior Golf Association. We have the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, but so many of the kids just love the opportunity to go and play in an AJGA event. So AJGA, was it founded with the idea, like the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association was founded, to help children learn the game, develop life skills, become responsible individuals, and pursue higher education if possible, if that's their desire, to go and use as golf continues them forward in their careers?
That's a good description. Our primary focus is you know, by the time the kids get to the AJGA, they're pretty good players. They've got well-developed games. So we're not teaching them to play. They're learning that at home with their parents or an instructor or however, such that by the time they get to us, at almost any age, and it starts at age 13, they're really, really good players. They're well advanced. They're the best players in you know, wherever they come from. Mary B. Porter is one of the great treasures of our game of golf, and has done so much for junior golf and the game generally speaking. Hawaii, and we've worked with her to try and make sure that the talented Hawaiian kids who can play at our level get invitations to come over and play in AJGA events on the mainland.
Yeah, and so AJGA was created to make for these events so that these talented young kids could play at a higher level than they could find in their home places?
Yeah, you know, back before there was an AJGA, there may have been two or three national events. One of them would have been the U.S. Boys Junior and the U.S. Girls Junior, and just a couple of others. Otherwise, kids were playing locally, and the competition wasn't as good. It wasn't as well organized, and it also was very difficult for college coaches to recruit because you'd have to go to a high school tournament to see one or two players out of maybe 60 or 70 who were there. And so it was very inefficient for college coaches. So we kind of, and this goes back to Steve Hamlin when the organization started, we just said there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better way for these kids to develop their talent at a high level and learn how to compete. And there's got to be a way for them to showcase those skills in front of college coaches so that they can earn a college scholarship.
Fantastic, because not only, you know, organizational skills that you have, but you're really good. The only way you get better is if you go up against competition that's stronger than you are, so that you can feel what you need to work on to better your game, whatever that game is. Or even in drama, whether you're acting, it doesn't matter. Whatever skill you have, unless you push yourself into a tougher arena, a smaller pond, you know, if you're the big fish, you got to get into a big pond with more big fish and find out what you can do, because that'll bring the best that can come out of you, and you'll find out what depth you can go to. I mean, it's exciting what the AJGA does, and I can see how that you've grown from three events to 120 over the past 40 years, giving kids an opportunity to really test their skills and for college recruiters to go and find them. That's a good thing. I thank you for being on the show. I have so many more questions. You know, it's sometimes so expensive for parents to get their kids into the game. I want the corporate sponsors to help with some of those costs, but I know that's asking an awful lot, isn't it?
Well, it is. You know, the game's expensive and the travel's expensive, and that's the whole point of the ACE grant. We're not going to let some kid who's got the talent and the ability, the drive, the ambition, the dream, not be able to enjoy AJGA golf. And so we provide them basically a scholarship to take advantage of that situation. But there's no question that, you know, instructors and equipment and tee times, those cost money.
No, but what you just said was perfect. So the ACE grant goes back to the kids so they can continue through AJGA, not to college.
No question.
Yes.
No
question. Okay, great. Awesome. Thank you so much for being on the show, and congratulations. All the work you do. Really enjoy talking with you, Jim. Thanks.
Thank you, Danielle.
Aloha. Jim Nugent is founder, publisher, Global Golf Post, president of the board of directors, American Junior Golf Association. Just a real pleasure to talk with him. And by the way, Global Golf Post, it's, as I said at the beginning, it's really easy to get. You go to globalgolfpost.com and it'll come up as you're reading, and it'll say, would you like to have this issue sent to you? And you just put in your email address, and boom, you've got it. It's yours. And you get all the latest information and stuff that you might not read someplace else, you know, like about the AJGA and a lot of other junior golf events and women's events and events from around the world. That's the bottom line. Let's thank the people who make this show possible. Futura Stone. Futura Stone's master craftsmen can turn your building, your warehouse, your showroom, your home project into artwork. It's Futura Stone. Only the best. best. Creative Plumbing. Whether a building, a shopping center, a home project that you need to do, like, you know, get something done in the bathroom. You need to put in a new one. You need to get some do something special for your Valentine that we've just been celebrating. Call Creative Plumbing. It's got to be done right. Creative Plumbing. They've been doing it right for over 40 years. Rainer Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom, providing lasting security and safety for your business, for your home. It's Rainer Doors, residential and commercial, fences and gates. Call Rainer Doors. And if you'd like to hear the show again, we're always at radiogolfclub.com. Radiogolfclub.com. We're streaming live from there, so you don't have to, you can be anywhere to hear us. And you can always listen later on in the podcast version. It is podcast from my site, radiogolfclub.com. It is also at iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, all the various podcast platforms that you can think of, so you can always find it. And they usually cut the off. The show is The Golf Club, and it always is Golf Club Radio Show. So that's what you're looking for if you're looking for the podcast. I want to thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2018.